Thank you, Brother Matt. Open your Bibles this morning, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. You know, it used to be that coming from the background that he came from, Brother Matt used to ask me, you know, a few days ahead of time, well, what's your message going to be about, preacher, so I can get the music just exactly where it needs to be. And I said, I don't know. I don't do that. I don't tell. And as a matter of fact, I'm not in the habit of going through outline book and finding the message names and outlines in order to use those 2 weeks ahead of time or whatever the situation might be. I'm kind of an impromptu person who likes to think that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. And so I never tell him. Sometimes I don't know. But boy, we were dead on this morning. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. My message is calloused hearts. Calloused hearts. You find that in Ephesians chapter number 4. And I will speak about that for a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, look down in verse number 17. And let me remind you that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. This is a most ungodly city. It's a large city. It's on the trade routes. It has all kinds of things. The Temple of Diana was a major tourist area, but it was also a lustful worship center. There were prostitutes. Houses next to it, all kinds of things that were involved in that worship ceremony. And it was very lustful to the flesh. And a lot of these people were saved from that in Ephesus. Paul writes to them to help them and is constantly discipling all of the folks who have been born again to pull them where they need to be spiritually. And so here's what he writes to that church at Ephesus in chapter 4, in verse number 17. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye, church, born again, baptized, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." The word blindness literally means to harden or to become callous. Because of the callousness, the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, I want you to stop and think about what's going on in America at the present time. And I want you to see these verses in light of not the peaceful rallies, not the peaceful protests, the things that have gotten out of hand, the looting, the burning, the killing, the destruction, the running and grabbing and stealing, all of the things that are happening in the name of justice, which is wrong. And I want you to see these verses in light of that, because these things happened in Paul's day and were very evident in the city of Ephesus. And he's exhorting these Christians not to succumb to the same feelings and emotions that the rest of the world and the city was going through. That people who are not born again, who do not have the privilege of the Holy Spirit living inside and guiding and enlightening, he said, don't succumb to their way of life. Don't even desire it. And he goes on and he says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." The rendition of that word, I want you to get this in light of what I just said. The word lasciviousness means filthy lust and lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The riots are showing greed, not injustice, it's showing greed, that I'm going to have my way and do my thing. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Father, it's great that we're present here this morning. We are few, but we are here to worship you and give praise and glory to you, our Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, and our Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who guides us, helps us, gives us unction and leadership, and Lord, shines a light upon the wickedness of our ways and of others. I pray that our hearts not be hardened because of what's happening in America. I pray that our hearts not be calloused and are still sensitive to your word, still sensitive to your presence, sensitive to your leading and your guiding and your working in our lives. I pray you forgive our sin this morning as a church. Forgive my sin as a man, and give me the grace that's needed as a preacher to stand and proclaim your word this morning in unction with power from on high. And I give you the glory and the credit in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I'm coming right back because I want to do a word by word for a few minutes, but I want you to notice the book of Matthew, chapter 24, the chapter that pretty much outlines the second coming of Jesus Christ and the signs of the times in three different areas. Everything in chapter 24 is not for our specific benefit, but he speaks to three groups. He speaks to the nations in verses 3 through 14, and the signs to the nations of the world or the Gentile nations. In verses 15 through 31, he speaks to the Jews and he says, here's your sign. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have the temple rebuilt in Jerusalem when the Antichrist goes and stands in the Holy of Holies and proclaims himself as God. You know you did wrong by trusting him, and you better flee to the mountains because all hell's about to break loose. And then he speaks to the church in verse 32 through 51, and he gives to the churches the sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 12, one of the signs of the end time and the coming of the Lord to the Gentile nations, a sign to the nations of the world that Jesus is soon to appear, is this: because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, it means to the very, very end. It doesn't mean that Christians have a possibility of falling from grace. This is not what he's speaking about. He's speaking about those who are able to sustain life until Jesus comes through that tribulation period will be delivered from it. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And because iniquity, the word iniquity literally means lawlessness and sin. Lawlessness and sin. Oh, it's like shining a bright light upon the word in our day and time and the specific hour in which we live, when we're living in a lawless period of time in America. And our politicians, which should all resign and get off of the seat, we, you and I, could do a better job than they're doing. They are compromising with lawlessness. I've got news for you. A child that's throwing a fit, you don't compromise. Well, now mommy will give you a sucker if you'll just be quiet. Well, yeah, he might do it this time and get the sucker. Guess what you just taught him? The way to get a sucker is throw a fit. Mommy will give it to you. That's not the way you treat lawlessness. We're going to name a street after you because you're lawless and you're rioting and burning. We're going to name a street after you. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Come on. God gave order of things. But he also gave a sign of the end times. I think you and I are being prepared for the rapture resurrection. Man, I can't hardly wait. I wish it was today. But lawlessness. When I first started preaching in 1977, I knew enough about the scriptures that the tribulation period, that 7 years of the wrath of God, 3.5 years bad, but the last 3.5, he called it great wrath, great tribulation. And people that are able to live through it, it's unbelievable time. But I preached all of that, and I preached the fact that I believe God's people would be raptured out just before all of that broke loose. I still believe that. But I also preached in those years that there would be an overlapping of circumstances. There would be an overlapping. We're not going to get raptured out and then all evil breaks loose. We're not going to get raptured out and then all wrong breaks loose. We're not going to get raptured out and then things turn bad. No, sir, I preached in that day and time that things would gradually get bad. They would get worse and worse until the rapture comes, that we'll be begging for Jesus to come and get us. I believed that, but I never thought I would see what I'm seeing now in America. It is unbelievable. It has to be the work of God. It has to be prophecy coming to pass because of pessimism and because of liberals and because of ungodly people who are in authority and high places that are doing things opposite of God's will and God's word. It has to be that cause and effect. And you and I are seeing it. Not everyone who's in a place of authority is a Christian and a believer and one who understands Scripture. I'm going to show you in a few moments that calling for the defunding of the police departments is one of the most ungodly and against the will of God and His purpose and plan for civil authority. It's against the will of God. And if you go there and you open the lid on that box, you're about to break loose all hell on America, I'm promising you. Calloused hearts. America claimed at one time a few years back to be 77% Christians. Well, I don't know where they all are. They're not practicing Christians. Or America wouldn't be in the shape she's in. It's time for Christians to realize that they're not to be passive, but they're to be active in government and active in their nation and country based upon and founded by the liberty of Almighty God who gave us this country because we were a people looking to serve Him and worship Him in our ways. He's blessed us beyond our imaginations. And people keep praying, oh, God bless America again. And it ain't going to happen as long as things are headed in the direction they're headed. It's time for Christians to stand up and demand that these things take place. We've allowed America to slide to the left, and it's a horrendous place that we find ourselves in. And we didn't get here overnight. Little by little, for the last 50 or 60 years, it's been happening while the people of America have been brainwashed. I used the right word, brainwashed. I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a YouTube video of a 21-year-old lady still living at home who was bawling her eyes out. She was doing her own FaceTime or something. Bawling her eyes out. And she hated her mother and father because they were so stupid and they were so narrow-minded and they were so bigoted and they were this and they were that and they were not, they were followers of Trump and they were all, and she was bawling and screaming into the camera that she hated them. Man, listen, that's a brainwash job if I've ever seen one. That's exactly what communism did in Russia and China years ago. It turned the young people against their own parents in the very beginning and had the young people turning their parents in because they had a Bible, or turning their parents in because they didn't swear allegiance to the Communist Party, and secretly they were trying to train their children the right way. But the children were being taught a different way in the government schools of Russia and China at that particular time, and communism won over. It's been in the process in America for a long time, and we're reaping what we've sown in our school systems, college and universities, grade school and high schools. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why does iniquity abound? Because God is taken out. God has no more authority. Now our government has the authority. Someone has well said, if socialism, which is the way that the other party is headed, if socialism gets elected into power in our nation, we are doomed. You can see tidbits of the way they think and what they want. Free school for everyone. How do you pay for that? Free Medicare and free, you know. Have you ever noticed how many times that word is used on the commercials on TV? I'm sick to death of Medicare commercials. They lie to the old people. You get free glasses, you get free dental, you get free, you know, transportation, you get free this and free this. Just sign up for this Advantage plan. No, it's a lie. Because the Advantage plan only pay so much for a single vision glass. How many old people only have a single vision? I've got triple and going to quadruple pretty soon. It's crazy. That doesn't weigh. It's a lie. Well, that's the way socialism is. It lies. Free college. Free Medicare. Everybody's on a welfare program. Everybody. You don't have to work. And how does that work? It doesn't. Defund the police organizations. We're going to come back with a love. We're going to come back and we're going to compromise. We're going to understand everybody's problems, and we're just going to put our arms around everybody and just kind of pull together. Oh, a utopia. My goodness, it's against God's order. I'll show you that in just a moment. You see, we've become calloused because we keep withdrawing. We draw away from what's going on in the world. As Christians, we're supposed to be salt poured out of the salt shaker. And the only way that you can be a preservative, or the only way that you can do any good as salt, is to be poured out into the world where you are. But we keep wanting to come in. I have nothing against homeschools. We have a lot of homeschoolers here. I have nothing against homeschool, but one of the primary reasons we homeschool is to get away from the world and the teachings of public system. We don't like that. And so we pull back and we teach our kids right and truth, But our kids then lose the influence they might have out in the public system. When we don't like what's going on, we withdraw from everything. We say, well, we're sold out to Christ. We're separated from the world. And yeah, but separated from the world doesn't mean isolated from the world. You can't be salt if you are isolated. You can't be light if you're stuck away in the corner somewhere. And too many times we've gotten that idea in Christianity that still preaches the truth is we've withdrawn. Now wait, don't misunderstand. There's no influence for good in the systems today because Christians have withdrawn rather than being poured out. So what's the answer? Well, I wouldn't want to put my kids in a situation like that. No more than you would. But we have to use our influence with people out and about. We have to befriend people of the world. It doesn't mean you have to go to their parties. It doesn't mean you have to do the things they do and talk the way they talk. But our life is to have an influence on them. And I don't mean lifestyle evangelism for crying out loud. Well, they're going to see so much good in me. They're going to want what I have. That never works. It's confrontational evangelism. They got to know they're lost and on their way to hell. The only way they know that is that they've broken the law of God. Calloused hearts. We get hardened and more cold and withdrawn. Why? Well, he said it right here. Because iniquity shall abound. You might paraphrase it, the heart of many has waxed cold. The love of many has calloused over because iniquity abounds. I understand that. Calloused hearts. Look back in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, he says, "This I say therefore," verse 17, "and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk." The action repeated. In other words, your lifestyle has changed and should change since you got born again. "That you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles," those who are not born again, the way they think, walking in the vanity of their minds, in the rottenness. The word vanity was used in Romans chapter 1 where they forsook God. They would not know God. They refused God. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Vanity. Worthless. Of no count. No use. Not good. Romans chapter 1 verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." You know, one of the problems in America today is we have a population of unthankful people that are entitled. And I don't know what they're entitled to. They've never worked. They've never done anything to deserve. They've not served the military. They've not done any of those kinds of things. What are they entitled to? Free college. Most of them can't read and write. They dropped out of air. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful," notice, "but became vain." They were not made vain. They became vain in their imaginations. The word vain means to make empty, foolish, moronic. They can't think straight. God gives them over to a reprobate mind when God is pushed back and pushed back and pushed back so many times. Notice that they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they all have the answers except Trump. You ever notice? Biden has all the answers, and he can't even read them off of a card. So professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. The Greek word is moroneo, moron. They became morons. My favorite word now. I don't use the word fool, but moron suits very well. They became morons. Notice in Ephesians 4, having the understanding darkened, verse 18, being alienated, separated from the life of God through the ignorance. Through the ignorance. Oh, but preacher, there are PhDs involved in this. Well, the ignorance here refers to spiritual things. This is what Paul is talking about, divine things. They alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, because of the hardness. I've never seen people in America to this degree in my lifetime. Never have I seen such hardened, calloused, unthankful, discompassionate people in my whole life as we're experiencing at the present time. They point the finger and point the blame, but in actuality, they're the problem. But they can't see it, and they don't understand it. They're unable to discern God's voice anymore. I want you to notice as a Christian that part of the problem here could become your heart becoming calloused to the degree that you do not hear God's voice. You have become so hardened, so callous, so cold-hearted that you do not hear God speak anymore. And that's a very dangerous place to be as a child of God. One of the things that I said to this young couple that just got married, keep yourself close to the Lord. Keep yourself sensitive to His speaking. Don't let your heart become cold and angry and bitter. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, I find in verse number 4 that Jesus answered an individual and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, listen, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What are we going to live on? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But realize the devil knows Scripture as well, and he quotes it all wrong, you know. He messes it up to a degree. Matthew chapter 13, look at it, if you would. And you find in verse number 15. Matthew 13, 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Waxed gross. It means to make thick, to make stupid, to render the soul dull or callous. This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. What are we hearing? The Word of God. What are we hearing? God speak to our hearts. What are we seeing? Spiritual things through the eyes of the Spirit. Think with me for a moment. I'm pulling this where I want it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4, notice a prophecy of the end time. He says, now the Spirit, capital letters, referring to the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly. It means in specific terms. He speaks plainly. In other words, this is not a parable. This is not an illustration. This is plain and simple. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times after this, Paul is writing, the latter times, it the meaning is literally critical turning points in history. Critical turning points in history. Can you not see America at that point right now? If she turns to socialism, where's the rest of the world going to be? Boy, oh boy. Look, critical turning points in history. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. The faith, the Christian faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines. What does the word doctrine mean? Teaching. And the teachings of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Seducing means a deceiver, a wandering deceiver. So the giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. There you go. Unsensitive. They've killed the nerve in. They're not sensitive. Their hearts are cold. Their hearts are dull. Their conscience is seared. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Wait a minute. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this is a prophetic scriptures of the last days. I believe we're living in that. I believe we're seeing that. When a 21-year-old woman would turn her mother and father in and say, I hate them. They're putting food in her stomach and clothes on her back and a roof over her head. And she hates them because they have no time for socialism. They're not going left. They have no time for all the junk that the rest of the country is seemingly caught up in. They are clear thinking. They are Christian people. They are right leaning. They are going in the right direction. And yet she hates them so much. She's so bitter. Look, she's believed the lies. Her conscience has been seared to all love of family. Hey, is that not a end time prophecy as well? In the last days, they would be without natural love. Huh? It is. And so he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Oh man, it means to sear the nerve endings. They no longer feel. How can the country go nuts and people start walking up to police officers and shooting them in the head because there was a bad egg that killed a man, perhaps not purposefully, but he did. He was wrong. I agree he was wrong. It doesn't matter if the man on the ground was black, white, red, yellow, green, or purple. He still did wrong. And he should suffer the consequences. But that doesn't mean that gives an open law for everyone to go and shoot a police officer somewhere, somehow. They have seared consciences and they believe the lies of hypocrisy, verse 2. And they're going about in a wrongful and a hurtful manner. Look in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, John writes, beloved is children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Oh, wait, what? Every spirit. First Timothy 4:2 just said doctrines of devils, the teachings of demonic spirit, the teachings of those who are following not the ways of Christ and the Bible, but are following the dictates of their own heart and emotions. And Satan works on and Satan owns the emotions, and they will go bad every time you follow those without looking to Christ to make a difference. And so you find that John writes and he says, beloved, don't act like these Gentiles. Don't act like these people who have no leadership of the Holy Spirit. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't have faith in those people who are speaking. Don't have trust in them. This Where is that? Is it in Minnesota, where the Muslim is a congressman? The woman, this is her first term. She's a nutcase. Now, this is live streaming, by the way. Come get me out of jail. She is a nutcase. And she's for defunding all of law enforcement. She is anti-Christian, anti-God as we know it. And she is a nutcase. But how did she get elected? There are people of like mind who, it said, over 70-something percent voted for her, and she won the election the last time it was about. It tells me that people are thinking wrong all over the country just like that, to elect someone like that. You say it's shameful. It is shameful. But she didn't get elected by one vote. She got elected by 70-something percent. There are people of like mind and character. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits, discern the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets, false teachers, that have nothing but themselves to gain and prosper. False prophets, false teachers, lying to people to get a following. False teachers who are following after not the doctrine of Christ and not the dictates of the Bible, but are following after their own God, which is their self or their emotions or their feelings, and it gets pampered and it gets built up or torn down by Satan himself, and they follow their feelings, the dictates of their heart. Listen, as we sang and as he read prior to that, the heart is unbelievably wicked. And you can't trust it. When you get born again, you get a new life and you get a new spirit and you follow after the Holy Spirit. And John is saying here, beloved, believe not every spirit. There's only one spirit you should believe, only one spirit you should follow, and only one spirit you should listen to, and that's the Spirit of truth. His name is the Holy Spirit of God. Hereby, he says, try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. It's amazing. When I got on Facebook, I started having people send me requests, and people that I've known my life. So suddenly, you know, I put a message or two up there, and then suddenly they wanted me to listen to their messages or their preachers or their prophets or their prophetesses. And I said, huh? Oh, yeah, you need to listen to this because the prophetess so-and-so said that Jesus is coming. When? Well, it's coming, a week before Easter. Oh, I'm still here. I think Easter's already come and gone. Well, the coronavirus is going to end the week after Easter. The prophet said so. Didn't do that either, did it? False prophets. Self-made prophets, rising up and calling themselves prophets. And God had a word for them in the Old Testament. In fact, he said they should be stoned. And he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So America and the millennials now are the generation that is least likely to go to church, least likely to believe in God, least likely to read the Bible, the millennial generation. So we have dumbed down and taken God out of everything so rapidly and so fast that we've created a generation and generations in America that don't believe God, that don't. They doubt whether he exists at all. And they certainly don't read his book and his word. And so they are guided by their own thought life and by the God of this world who keeps them in darkness. Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, don't follow after the Gentiles and become like the Gentiles of the world who live in the vanity of their mind, the uselessness, the devalued thought life, and the process of their emotions as, well, they just don't feel like going today, or they're so angry because someone named the name of Jesus, and somebody said, you can't mention the name of Jesus on Facebook, they'll take you down, and all that kind of junk. We really have disallowed God in society today. So is it any wonder that we are where we are with people talking about defunding law enforcement? Well, what you going to put in this place? I can tell you what's going to happen is chaos. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want you to look in 2 Peter chapter 1 very quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want you to look in verse 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets. The context of 2 Peter, or the 2 Peter chapter 2, the context of that is apostasy, a denying of God's word, a denying of God altogether. That's the context. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately, secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Oh, right here. And many shall, how many? Many, more or less. Many. Many is more than less. Many. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. You know what that definition is? You're not going to believe that. Now, thinking about where we are in America, thinking about what you've seen on the news, thinking about the burning, the looting, the stealing, the killing, thinking about all of that. They firebombed a police officer's squad car in one of the main streets, firebombed it. And then one of the individuals that was in the crowd got on top of the hood and defecated on it to prove the point. How vile, how low life have we come in America? How low? Notice, many shall follow their pernicious ways. It means destruction, perishing, ruin. Many shall follow their ruinous ways. Many shall follow their perishing ways. Many shall follow their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Yeah. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, oh, free. Free health care. Free tuition. Free eyeglasses. Free dental. Free transportation, free, free, free. Yeah, give me a break. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Twice the word damnation is used in referring to the people who follow after the destructive ways. Twice the word damnation that I use, and maybe more than that, but what I have in my message, twice in my message, the word damnation, judgment, it means swift punishment shall come upon them. Whether it comes from God or it comes from civil authority or wherever it comes from, it may come from, the civilian population. I don't know, but it says, look, it says in verse 3, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. Who is they, preacher? Who is they? Well, I'm not talking about black people. They. I'm talking about the rioters. I'm talking about the looters. I'm talking about the scumbags who burn downtown and break the windows out and go in and come out with an armload of electronics or clothes or shoes. I'm talking about those scumbags. They. And he says, look, he says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. It means their judgment. They don't have judgment anymore. It's like, hey, this is free. This is free stuff, man. Let's go get it. And their judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to start trying to close this up. I by no means am finished, but I'm going to try to start closing it up. I want to show you something in Romans 13, the chapter that God gave us about civil authority. The chapter that God gave us about the order of things and government. Nations. Notice that he says, chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul. Now, of course, Paul's writing to those who are born again. And they were under Roman rule, a foreign government that was in control of their land. And Paul says, you know, I understand how you are, and I know it sticks in your teeth and it does mine as well. But listen. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That means human government, permanent human government, whether it's a king, whether it's a prime minister, whether it's a president, whatever it is. He says the higher powers are ordained of God. Now, God does not ordain tyrants. God does not ordain slavery. God does not ordain those kinds of situations that governments get involved in sometimes. And Christian people have the right to try and change the situation, especially in a democracy. Especially in a democracy. Our forefathers knew that. Notice that he says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now what I want you to think about in the positive manner is that this higher powers are put in place, as Paul will tell you, not for our harm, but for our protection. These people and organizations are put into power by God and with the purpose of making the place safe so that you and I could worship God in safety and not in fear. So that we could worship God and carry out and propagate the gospel throughout our area. That's why these civil governments and civil authorities are in power. Notice, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. There's that word again. We saw it a moment ago in the followers of false prophets. We saw it a moment ago in the propagators of lies and not truth. We saw it a moment ago in those who were destroying and tearing down, that they would receive damnation. We see it here where it says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power. Listen, is law enforcement an arm of God in this regard? It absolutely is. I'm telling you that God ordained the office of the president or the king or the prime minister. In our case, I had someone, I had a, actually I had a, a Texas Ranger in church one day, and he came through and he said, "Preacher, you need to read Romans 13. I said, "I have read it." He said, "You're disobeying." I said, "I am not." I said, "Stop and think. Where would America be if everyone thought like you did and not like I do? There would be no United States of America if we just bowed to tyranny and just stayed under the king who was ruthless and just kept increasing our taxes more and more and more." He was a tyrant, and our people rebelled against him and set it forth that we might have the liberty and the freedom to worship and to live and to exercise our rights to provide for our families. He wouldn't have any of it. He's been taught the other way. But that's exactly what Romans 13 means. We're to give authority to those in places of authority. We are to obey them as long as they are doing what is best for us and what is good for the Christian nation. When it becomes a tyrant in office, when it becomes one who dictates when we can leave our house and can't leave our house, when it becomes one who says you can't go to work and make money and put food on the table for your children, it's against my will and you cannot do it, then they've drawn the line, and you and I must take up and decide whether we're going to follow God or we're going to follow the tyrant government. We're not going to do it. But now wait. You missed the point. Here's what I'm saying. Right now the word is defund law enforcement. That's against God's order. That's against God's will. You say, well, they're bad. They're not all bad. There are more good than there are bad. They're here to help us. How many times have I had conversations with sheriff's deputies and city police officers and state police officers and all of those. And these are good people. We even have a DPS officer who comes to our church before we had the coronavirus shutdown and so on and so on. We've had deputies that were members here. We had law enforcement. They're good people. They're just shackled by the system. The rules of engagement. Well, I saw on Facebook the other day those protesters in the faces of those officers, and I want to tell you what, they had more patience than I would have had. I would have turned the dogs loose on them. Now they're saying, you can't fire off tear gas, you can't use tear gas against the protester. Look, if it's a calm protest, it's an orderly protest. Everybody has that right. Go do it. But when they began to break out windows and set fires and began to shoot police officers and began to do all those kinds of things, it's wrong, and it's time to get it under control. Notice, he said, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, that's God's power that has been delegated to the president, the governor, the mayor, the chief of police, the county sheriff, and down the row, God's arm is there. They represent the arm of God. When they're doing right, when they're doing right and trying to protect God's people so we can worship, so that the bad guys, we don't have to worry about people coming in and shooting us because they're on the job, they're taking care of things. But when you defund and talk about defunding law enforcement, you're talking about taking an arm of God away and getting rid of the arm of God that God ordained. And I must tell you that you're going down the wrong street and you're barking the wrong dog, because God put it into existence and you don't have the authority to tear it down and take it away. If you do, you suffer the consequences. Notice what he said. He said, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist, what? Shall receive to themselves damnation. That's judgment. So all these senators and congressmen that are barking, and these mayors that are barking about, well, these, you know, passing the buck, Because leadership is not strong enough to do what it needs to do, passing the buck. Well, law enforcement, they're horrible. We ought to defund them, get rid of them. Don't give them any more supplies. Let them just wither away and starve over there. We're not going to help them out anymore. Listen, they're barking up the wrong tree. They ought to be patting those guys on the back. They ought to be loving on them. They ought to have the intestinal fortitude enough to break some of those rules of engagement and not let them become like stormtroopers. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to take the shackles off of our law enforcement and let them at least defend themselves. And these crowds that get adamant and start yayan right in the face, listen, at least taser them. That's what I'd do. We used to have back on the farm, we had cattle prods. How many of you know what cattle prod is? Yeah. Cattle prod is it's full of batteries, and sometimes they had one battery on the end that had a long, like a fishing pole, with two prongs that stuck out. They weren't sharp, but they were set there to make a charge of electricity when you hit the button. And man, a stubborn cow, you could hit her on the flank with that and push the button and she'd move. Well, hogs wouldn't get in the trailer and they're all bunched up, and you could hit that with that in the backside with that man and they'd squeal and they'd take off. Well, I think it'd be all right with me if they turned that loose on some of these demonstrators and get them back in away, you know. Hey, you're talking about, oh well, calloused hearts. We've gotten hard. America's getting hard. America's going the wrong way. We start talking about defunding the arm of God, we're headed in a bad direction, and Christian people need to wake up and realize that and start screaming bloody murder from the top of their lungs. I'm going to quit. It wasn't but just a few years ago over the past 40 to 50 years, Big Brother has been busy taking the church's influence along with God, the Ten Commandments, and counseling out of society. But all of a sudden now, with lawlessness and crime on the increase and no one having any answers per se, they're all in desperation again, turning to the churches for help. Do something. Do something. Yeah. Well, I say that our civil government has all of the authority to do something, and they're not doing it. According to God's word, now I've taken you slowly through and showed you what happens when you turn your ear away from hearing the truth. Paul writes it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they will turn away their ears from hearing the truth and shall be turned unto falsehood. Yep, here we are. They don't want to hear the truth, but they'll go for any hook, line, and sinker that has the word free attached to it. Wake up, America. It begins with God's people. Don't be pacifist. That's what got us in trouble years and years ago. God's people have always fought on the right side, whether physically or spiritually. Paul writes and he says, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They can pull down the strongholds of the devil himself. But we fail to pray for that. One of the four points that I had, and all I gave you was an introduction this morning, was that we've become calloused in our prayer life. We don't pray as we ought. Oh Lord, give to me. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, do for me. Oh Lord, do for my kids. Do for my family. Oh Lord, we've quit praying for our leadership. We quit praying for our nation. We've quit praying that God have His way, and He should have. We become calloused in our prayer. We become without feeling in a lot of areas. We shouldn't do that. Calloused in our giving. You know what? There's a saying that came to me years ago. When we talk about giving, you can give without loving. Here, bud, get lost. But you can't love God, and you can't love God's people, and you can't have compassion in your heart without having a tendency to give. It's natural. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It's natural in those areas. I won't preach you the second part of the sermon. Let's pray. Father,